What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
During segregation, every Sunday from Memorial Day to Labor Day, Black folks would travel far and wide to Cars Beach and Sparrows Beach. And I didn't know. Two sisters, Lizzie Carr Smith and Florence Carr Sparrow. See, in 1902, their parents, who were formerly enslaved, Frederick Carr and his wife, Mary Wells Carr, they bought 180 acres of waterfront farmland in Annapolis. By 1926, it was Carr's Beach, a retreat for Black families. By 1932, their daughter, Elizabeth Carr Smith, was operating Carr's Beach, and her sister, Florence Carr Sparrow, had created the adjoining Sparrows Beach. See, they operated two resorts side by side as separate business. Now, the height of Carr's Beach was in the 50s and the 60s. Thousands would travel 200, 300, 400 miles to Carr's Beach just for one day. See, whenever a Black artist was on the Chitlin' Circuit, you remember the Chitlin' Circuit, that when Black entertainers had to navigate around that Jim Crow South to perform at venues that accepted Black entertainers? Yeah, that's the Chitlin' Circuit. Well, that D.C., Maryland, and Baltimore run, Carr's Beach, that was usually the last stop. Now, there were a couple things that made Carr's Beach successful, but I'll give you three. One, it was Black-owned. It was a refuge for Black folks in a segregated country. Two, the beach had slot machines and a nightclub called Club Benghazi. See, Anne Arundel was the first Maryland county to legalize slot machines. And three was a very popular radio personality named Hoppy Adams. See, Hoppy Adams convinced the radio station to do live broadcasts at Carr's Beach, and it was beneficial to both of them. See, all the top acts came to Carr's Beach. Billie Holiday, Lil Richard, The Shirelles, The Temptations, Ike and Tina Turner. They say July 21st, 1956, 70,000 people came to see Chuck Berry, but only 8,000 were lucky enough to witness it. Shoot, a 1962 performance by James Brown brought 11,000. Unfortunately, Carr's Beach is no longer around. Why not? Desegregation pretty much destroyed it. See, when the Jim Crow era ended, venues that were once white only began to open up to Black performers and attendees. And we just couldn't wait to neglect the beaches and facilities and universities that had provided for us for decades for those now accepting good old white spaces, just so we could show that we belong. The popularity of the Black-owned beaches declined. And now, where Carr's Beach and Sparrows Beach once stood, or high-end condominiums. And I didn't know. Maybe you didn't either.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.